Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in. It's Wednesday afternoon here in the UK, and this is Back Chat, my weekly live stream for those of you who are new here. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry, and I'm a yoga teacher, and I specialize in yoga for scoliosis. And I've started this weekly live stream a few months back just because I'm always curious to learn more about scoliosis. So sometimes on this show, I'll be talking to experts that specialize in working with people that have scoliosis, and they might be from different fields. So do have a look back at the playlist. I'm sure you'll find lots of interesting talks on there. And then sometimes it's just me talking about what I know, what I have learned over the years. And I do work with mainly exclusively nowadays people that have scoliosis, and they are from all over the world. So it's a condition which is much more common than you might think. So they say it's about kind of 2 to 3% of the population have scoliosis. I can actually imagine that it's more than that. But you come across a lot of people that suffer from scoliosis, and I have found that those with scoliosis, and I'm one of them, and this is why I kind of got into this field, they are always looking for things they can do themselves, right, to help them, because it's a condition that doesn't go away. Even if you have had a metal rod in your back and you've had spinal fusion surgery, it's not going away, right? It's still there, and you will be living with this your whole life. And this is not to kind of paint kind of a doom and gloom picture. No, I'm actually here to spread a little bit of positivity and saying it's okay. There's something you can do about this. And I'm not saying yoga is the answer for everything, but it's certainly something that you can do yourself, and that is really empowering. And hopefully helps you to feel a little bit better in your body long term. So today, as that was already quite a little bit of waffling here, today we're going to be talking about the best yoga poses for scoliosis. So this is probably the number one question I get asked, either via email, people sending me emails, and I love that, and or contacting me via social media. And they would say things like, I have got an S-curve scoliosis. It's 30 degrees in my thoracic spine. It is 20 degrees in my lumbar spine. What should I do? Which yoga poses should I practice, right? So these are the sort of questions that I get asked, and I will try to kind of talk you through my process of how I start recommending yoga poses for people. And then obviously, if you're here live, I can see there's a few of you watching this live, please come and say hello. And then I can see Jody already from Wisconsin, and she's got a 60 degree scoliosis and is 53 years old. So if you are here live, welcome, Jody. Do come and say hello and take this opportunity to ask me your questions. And obviously, let me know if anything isn't quite clear. So I did take a few notes just to kind of structure my thoughts a little bit more, because this is a topic that I'm really passionate about, and sometimes I get a little bit sidetracked. So best yoga poses for scoliosis, right? This is why we're all here. We want to have a list. These are the things that I should be doing every day, and then what? So my first question, so this is the process of how I deal with one-to-one students mainly, I would ask them, first of all, what is your goal, right? What do you want to get out of your yoga practice or your session with me? And this could be different reasons, obviously. So this could be, I want to get rid of my pain, right? I suffer from a lot of pain. Others would say, I just want to get rid of scoliosis. And then others would say, I'm looking for a way to maintain my curve, making sure that it's not getting better, or possibly reducing my curve slightly. So this would be one thing that I kind of would need to know before I start recommending certain yoga poses, because obviously if you suffer from pain, this will be very different from if you're just looking to kind of improve your posture and maintain your curvature. If you're telling me you just want to get rid of your scoliosis, I would probably tell you, I'm not the right person to help you with that, unfortunately, and I don't think that person exists. You might not want to, but spinal surgery is probably your best option in that case, which is not very pleasant. So I think we can, with yoga, we can certainly look at maintaining where you are, making sure that it's not getting worse. And we can look at possibly improving your posture and maybe also slightly reducing your curvature. But hopefully this is not your main goal. I think what the main goal, certainly what I practice and what I teach, is that you feel amazing in your body, right? So this is just a little bit of kind of about where we would start from. And the second thing I would ask you is, what do you know about your scoliosis, right? What's the progression rate that has been given to you? What is your exact curve pattern? Obviously, if you have an X-ray, amazing, then that is really helpful. If not, we can do the Adams forward bend test, so I can see what the curvature is. And then also sometimes I do ask, what is the cause of your scoliosis? Most of the time it's idiopathic, meaning that nobody knows. But you know, there could be other reasons, obviously, why there is scoliosis. So it's really, really important to just establish all of this before we get started. Obviously, and your age will have a factor. So again, yoga poses that I might give to a 15-year-old will be quite different to someone who's 65, for example. So that is another thing that I ask. And then obviously I ask you also if you have any other conditions. So again, if you're all very fit and healthy and it's quite straightforward, great, we can straight get into it. But there might be other things. You know, you might have osteoporosis, you might have spondylolisthesis, you might have had some injuries in the past, you might have problems with your shoulder, you might have problems with your hip, with your knee. You know, it's building up a full picture before we actually kind of get into which yoga poses are the best ones for you. And hopefully this kind of helps you to understand that it's not that straightforward to recommend certain yoga poses. And actually, the reason why I'm talking about this today is because there has been some discussion in my Facebook group, the Yoga for Scoliosis community, and people have been posting their amazing results, right? So, and they were saying, I've been doing these two or three poses every day for the past 3 days, and look, this is what's happening, and it's looking amazing. Now, fantastic. I love when you're motivating each other, I love when you support each other. But I just want to say that, first of all, results do not happen overnight. So you do need to leave a little bit of time. And then, second of all, just because it worked for that person doesn't mean that this is right for you. And obviously, on the positive side, if it has worked for someone else, then that means it's possible, right? So that is good. That is just something in terms of mindset that is really important to keep at the back of your mind. But also always question what you see. You know, is this right for me right now? And maybe you just want to try it out and see how it goes. But I wouldn't recommend, again, I would want to ask a lot more questions to the person who said, these are the amazing results that I've seen in the last 3 days. Okay, so let me just have a look at the chat. So Tatiana is here. Hi, Tatiana. It got a little bit confusing with the time zones, didn't it? So we have moved into the winter time now. So our clocks have gone back last Sunday, and I think in North America you're probably changing at another time. So it's all a little bit confusing. Good. So all right. Jody's saying pain-free and flexibility. So these are your goals for your yoga practice. You want to be pain-free and flexible, not so stiff. I think these are great goals. Vaishnav is saying I have a 60-degree curve and it is a C curve. I am 16. My doctor said it is optional to do a surgery. Can you recommend me some yoga poses? So obviously, so you have answered some of those questions. Now I just want to say, every scoliosis curve is slightly different, right? They're not all the same. So just because you have an S curve doesn't necessarily mean that there are standard yoga poses, even though obviously there is the approach by Dr. Fishman who does recommend a set of yoga poses. And I am happy to talk about that as well in a moment. So Tatiana is saying, what yoga poses can help straight up your spine? Right. So I think there's also a difference between would you like the perfect x-ray? Would you like that your spine looks straight on an x-ray? Or would you like a posture that is balanced and that is functioning well, takes you from A to B, makes you feel strong, supported, flexible in your body? And generally helps you to live well. I'm hoping the answer is you want the second one and not just the perfect x-ray, right? So again, this is just something I think straight spines are overrated, basically. I think there is a lot of people that have straight spines and still have a lot of problems. So just because your spine is straight is not going to help you to be pain-free and to function super well. Having said that, if you have scoliosis, your problem or your challenge, let's say challenge, a little bit more positive, is gravity, right? So we have a curvature, we've got an imbalance here in the spine, and let me just bring up here my lumbar one, for example. This is quite a mild lumbar scoliosis here. So if you imagine that there's the forces of gravity is just kind of it's not helping the spine to be completely stacked up, but there is an imbalance. So it's taken off center. The muscles here, for example, on the right side of the blue bits at the bottom, they will be shortened and they will be tight with gravity. It's pulling the spine even further into this direction. Right. So what we need to do with our yoga practice is elongate. We need to lengthen the spine and then we need to strengthen and support that new structure. So we want to create a change and then we want to make sure that it stays like that. Right. So, for example, lengthening poses, for example, like a downward dog or a half downward dog, anything that kind of pulls you in opposite directions, mountain pose where you're just standing and lengthening through the crown of the head. These are all great poses to kind of to get started with. So you always think kind of lengthening through the crown of the head in every single pose. And you can apply this mainly into the standing postures in yoga. They are really, really useful for this. And then obviously you want to make sure, so we're creating a little change, and then we want to make sure that this is supported as well. Now, having said that, if you're a little bit older, your problem might be that your body has been living like this for a long, long time, right? And it's gotten used to it, and it's getting quite difficult to create a change. So for you, I would say increasing flexibility first, like Jody was saying, she doesn't want to feel so stiff anymore. So increasing the flexibility of the spine, again, making that change, learning how to elongate, learning how to adjust your posture, and then we stabilize and strengthen in that posture. Now, for Vaishnav, who's 16 years old, I don't think he's got a problem with flexibility, right? I think his spine is probably still quite flexible, so we don't need to work on that. And then you can just kind of so for him, for example, I would say why not try the Fishman approach, which is just some simple yoga poses that you can do. S curves, unfortunately, are a little bit more complicated. A lumbar curve is probably the easiest one, in which case you would do a side plank on the convex side, so with the convex side of the curve down. So Fishman would say for an S curve, he would suggest to do that on the convex side of your lumbar curve. He would say to do a half moon pose on the other side. And then he's got some additional poses as well, which he's still testing. So keep up with his website and with his research on that. But he's still kind of researching on this, so he hasn't kind of published all the results yet. And again, this is just one approach, and he has been doing this for a long time. But there are people that would tell you that doesn't actually work and that doesn't make a difference. Now, what Fishman says is, what have you got to lose, right? Well, what you do have to lose is obviously that you might get it worse. So if you go down that route, make sure that you have checkups, right? Where people, where your medical professional can check that it's going in the right direction. So that's what I would say about this. Good. Lovely. So Tatiana is saying, I don't have any pain with my 35 degrees left thoracolumbar scoliosis. Good. Excellent. So that is, in that case, if you do not have any pain, you can go straight into your strengthening. And what you want to do is you want to strengthen your convex side in a kind of short contracting way. And then you want to strengthen your concave side eccentrically. And eccentrically means you're lengthening it while you're strengthening. And you can do this by getting into your yoga poses in the corrected way, right? So you already have your autocorrection, and this is something that I teach you in one-to-one sessions and that I teach you in my practice transformation. And then once you're in the autocorrection, then you go into your yoga poses and you stabilize there, right? So this is kind of the principles of how I work. Now, there are people obviously who work differently, but this has worked very well for me. And this is taking into consideration what I have learned from people like Dr. Fishman, but mainly Elise Browning Miller, who's a fantastic yoga teacher. And then more recently, I've kind of been studying a little bit more about the Shroff method and bringing some principles of that into my yoga practice. So again, I think you need to find someone who you trust and who you can work with and who can help you find the best yoga poses for you. So Barbara is saying, hi, Christine, I've learned so much from you. However, I still struggle to build up a practice on my own. I know the poses you taught us, but I'm not always sure if I'm doing them in the right order. And Barbara, you've done my practice transformation, I think, haven't you? So you have obviously some of the, you have got some poses to there to do. And I think what I would say about the right order is try different orders and then see what how you feel. You know, in terms of working with your scoliosis, if you do yoga poses in the wrong order, that's not going to make much of a difference, right? What it doesn't make a difference about is how you feel maybe after your practice. So, for example, if I want to feel if I'm really tired and I want to get more energy, right? And I want to feel a little bit more alive, and I want to feel kind of a little bit stronger. What I would do probably in my practice is I would start lying on the floor a little bit, but then I would get into some simple, just little movements here. Bridge pose, for example, up and down a few times, or some leg lifts, something like that. And then I would come up probably mainly into standing and work on some standing poses. Half moon pose is a super energizing pose, so that could be one that could be like one of the peak poses. And then maybe I would finish with kind of a shorter shavasana, maybe like 5 minutes of shavasana, right? So that would be my kind of example of a more energetic practice. If I practice in the evening, I wouldn't do any like half moon poses. I probably wouldn't do many back bends or anything like this. I would kind of keep it quite calm, quite soft, probably some inversions, resting the legs against the wall, Viparita Karani, something like that to bring the energy down. So again, it's about what you want to get out of your practice. Good. So I hope that makes sense. Barbara is saying, thank you, Christine, for your answer and encouragement. Probably I over worry because I don't want to make any harm. With time, I shall become more confident. Yes, absolutely. You will be. And you're doing the right thing because you are proactive, right? So many people are not proactive. So many people are just watching the videos, the YouTube videos, but they're just watching them. They're not actually doing them, right? So you've got already a head start. You're already. You took the practice transformation. You really kind of started to get into your home practice. You've got some poses, and obviously with time you can add on to that as well. So I think you're not giving yourself enough credit here. And yes, you will absolutely become more confident. And again, with the order, I would not worry too much, right? Your body will tell you if something isn't right. But in terms of scoliosis, and maybe it's because I talked about the building up flexibility first and then strengthening. I don't know if that confused the matters. But in a practice, I wouldn't worry so much about the order. You will figure that part out. That is not so important. When I talk about we want to increase flexibility first and then strengthen, that's kind of more on a longer term. If I'm looking more at a progression of a practice that I'm working with someone, so I look at the starting point and then working it forwards from there. Good. Hi, Alice. She's saying, hi, Christine. I don't have pain, but my ribs are much more emphasized in the left part in front. In what direction should I rather sleep, and in which direction should I lean towards when exercising? Right, so let's think about this. My ribs are much more emphasized in the left part in the front. So are you talking about floating ribs, the front left sticking out? Something that is quite common. So that is interesting. Well, it gives us an idea that there might be some rotation going on and there might be an S curvature. Totally guessing, obviously. I haven't seen you. I haven't seen your X-ray, but sometimes that happens with those types of curvatures. You would need to know what exactly is going on in your spine, about sleeping. I would say if you don't have any pain, don't worry about it. You're not going to make your scoliosis worse by sleeping on the wrong side or something. Something passive doesn't make a scoliosis worse, right? So I wouldn't worry about it too much. If you have a very severe curvature, and you have a really soft mattress and you only have one curvature, you will know if you're lying on one side, you're just sinking into your scoliosis. If you lie on the other side, it's kind of bringing you in a better, slightly better position. But if you don't have any pain, I wouldn't worry about it, because you're getting your sleep, right? If you start adding things now, you might not be so comfortable anymore. And what is really important is that you actually sleep. Am I right to assume that one the left side still? Okay, not quite sure if I understand. As if I'm doing all these on my right part, my ribs are getting even more emphasized in the left. So not sure it helps. Looking forward to your thoughts as I saved many of your videos to practice, but I don't know in which direction to not get my ribs even worse. Yes, this is really difficult for me to say, Alice, because I don't know enough about your curvature. Have you done the Adams forward bend test? So, you know, when you're just kind of rounding forwards and I notice best to film. Have someone film you or have someone tell you if there's one side higher than the other. Obviously, the best thing to do is get a proper x-ray and a diagnosis from a health professional. But that's kind of the other option if that is not available. And then, you know, we can start kind of working from there. But generally, what you want to do is if you're looking at this scoliosis curvature here, for example, in this graphic. You've got the side where the dot is on, the red dot, that is the convex side. And then you've got the other side, which is the concave side. So, generally, what we're looking to do is to strengthen that convex side. And then we want to lengthen the concave side and then also strengthen it, right? So, really, we want to strengthen everywhere, but we start with the convex side. Lengthen the concave and then stabilizing from there. So with the ribs, that is usually a problem of an S curve, and that is usually a problem where the curve changes direction, and then there is a rotation which makes the ribs pop out on one side more than the other. So you could think about obviously reversing that, and generally, if ribs pop out at the front. Think about what's going on at the back of that space. Yes, so that's the space that is probably getting compressed. So rather than trying to kind of push your ribs in, I've got my finger here to do it. What you're trying to do is increase the space at the back, and that might already make all the difference. And then it's also a matter of derotating. But again, we would need to know a little bit more about your specific curvature about this. So let me just, I don't know if that helps. Sorry, Alice. I'm trying to give straightforward answers, but you know, it is quite a complex condition. It's a 3D condition, and if it was really easy to solve, then everyone would be doing it, right? But it's not, and there are different approaches to treating scoliosis. So Jay Gomez is saying, I had scoliosis surgery, and last year I had X-rays. Results given were dextroconvex thoracic scoliosis. Good. So you already had your spinal surgery. How long ago was that? And was it successful? would be my question here. And with if you had a rod inserted, a piece of metal with screws, or two pieces of metal with screws, put into your spine, then we would work very differently than someone who hasn't had the surgery, right? Because someone who hasn't had the surgery has got potential for flexibility, hopefully does have a flexible spine. But obviously you probably don't have that if you've had the spinal fusion. So we would work differently in that case, and we would probably not work on correction because then you can get troubles with your rods as well. So you do never want to kind of go against them, but mainly kind of stabilizing there. Good. Alice is saying, are there any exercises? Oh, sorry, I missed your previous one. Yes, I did that exercise in my left shoulder. My left hips are a bit higher compared to my right part, and I also have my ribs that are really much more pronounced in the front on the left side. So your left shoulder is higher. Do you mean when you're bending down, they are higher? That would mean that there is a left thoracolumbar curve, or are you saying when you're standing up, your left shoulder is higher? So that's again, that is different. Are there any exercises we can do for derotation? Have a look at some of my YouTube videos. So there is one where I'm suggesting some poses to reduce the appearance of a rib hump. So that would be more towards the back rather than the front. So there are some poses that you could do. You have to be really careful with twists. So it's not something that you want to kind of go crazy with, right? So a little bit of derotation is good, but then you want to stabilize and to strengthen. Good. It also said mild anterolisthesis of C5 and C6 with mild straightening of cervical lordosis. All right. So you need to tell me about your surgery rather than that one. Good. So Alice is saying I will take my X-ray too, but might take longer as hospitals don't attend that at the moment. Thank you so much. Yes, I know this is really difficult, and obviously scoliosis sometimes is a little bit neglected, let's say, or not that it's not taken seriously, but because there is no immediate threat most of the time, doctors, and I can only talk here for the UK because I know the health system here. I'm not so familiar, obviously, with how it works in other countries, but that's how it works here. Usually, if there's not like an immediate problem, then they will kind of say, well, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens, right? And at the moment, they've got other problems. And obviously, at the moment, everyone is busy with Corona. So like routine X-rays are a little bit difficult to get. So I have paid for mine in the past. For example, I just go to a chiropractor or a physio, and then if they have an X-ray machine, they can take the X-ray as well. But yeah, it's a little bit harder at the moment. Good. So Marty Miller is saying hello, hi. How to strengthen the muscles around the spine? I love using my yoga hammock to do inversions. When I stand up, then I'm definitely taller and straighter, but my back cannot keep that position. I feel you, yes. And I love inversions as well. I don't have any ropes or a hammock at home to do these. But I've obviously been in yoga studios, and they really can feel amazing, and you get this lovely elongation, and then you stand up and your spine goes straight into it. This actually highlights what I was saying previously, that we need to do something actively to elongate and then to strengthen to support it, right? So just passive things Again, that's why, sleeping, you're not going to make your scoliosis worse. You're also not going to make it better during sleeping because it's passive, right? Nothing is in the brain or anywhere else is going to change the way your muscles are or the way that your body is positioned. However, if you're doing something actively, then you can actually create a change. So for example, so for Marty Miller, I would say basically if you do your inversions, great, but then make sure maybe after you've done your inversions, and I know sometimes the inversions are more towards the end of the practice, but you might want to do something supporting, strengthening afterwards, straight afterwards. So for example, extended puppy pose is one of my favorites, or just standing in Tadasana, in mountain pose, and kind of stabilizing where you are and really lengthening actively through the spine. So you could do this by inhaling, lengthening through the crown of the head. And then on the exhale, you lengthen even more. This is quite hard work. So you can try this a few times. But this really helps to kind of support the muscles in that new shape. Good. Right. So Alice saying yes, when I lean towards, it's my left part emphasized as well. Okay. I'm not sure if that was for me. Wendy's saying, are supine twists good for lumbar curves? Oh, I disappeared there for a moment. Sorry about that. Supine twists can be for derotation, can be useful. So I would be a little bit, I love twists, by the way, and I love supine twists. They are done in a with awareness. They can be really lovely, in my opinion. Again, you want to be a little bit mindful about what exactly is happening. And Wendy, if you have any sort of SI joint hip issues in that area, right? I would be careful with supine twists. If that area is really well supported and you've got a strong core, then I think your supine twists can be quite useful. And you will notice there will be one side is really easy and you go for it, and then the other side is quite difficult, right? But generally, I would be mindful with twists. If you are a seasoned yogi, then you will not have a problem. I wouldn't go into your extreme twists with back bends, but kind of a supine mild twist, I think, can be really useful. Good. Tatiana is saying, I think it's the same everywhere about scoliosis. Yes, I'm not sure what I said there. That is the same. But okay, Marty Miller is saying, thank you very much. Okay, so hopefully that made sense. But yeah, these would be kind of my things to consider. So I've talked about a few yoga poses already. So for example, your downward dog is a really useful pose, your extended puppy pose, mountain pose. But then really, once you have lengthened your spine, take it into different movements, right? And once you've corrected your posture as much as you can, take it into other yoga poses. That's how you get your brain to make a change and to kind of repattern and to ingrain this new way of moving into your day-to-day posture, and that you will not just kind of collapse back into your scoliosis shape once your practice is over. So that's what I think is really important. On top of that, obviously, if you want to for a lumbar curvature, if you want to do your side plank, you would do it on the convex side. In Schwoz, they would lift the opposite leg up, which is what I'm experimenting with at the moment. I like to practice that version. I think that's really, really beneficial. But yeah, then that's kind of hopefully given you a little bit of an insight about how I go about recommending yoga poses for people. So it's not quite straightforward as saying if you have an S curve, you do these yoga poses and then you're fine. I think I would be a bad yoga teacher if I was saying that. So there is a little bit more to that. And there are some beneficial yoga poses, obviously. But again, you have to keep in mind a lot of the various factors. And this is not to kind of to make it all really confusing. I am trying to simplify it. But you've got plenty of practices on my YouTube channel, right? This is why I build up this library of practices to give you a little bit of choice and then to see how you feel and see what happens. Is it going in the right direction? Or do you need something more? Do you need really a personalized program? In which case, get in touch with me. You know, I do offer sessions via Zoom, so it's all relatively easy nowadays. And then we can take it from there. But just knowing that you're not on your own, there's other people who can help you, who can support you. We've got this lovely community to motivate each other. Good. So Jay Gomez is saying surgery was done almost 18 years ago. It was successful. Got rod and screws in my lower part of the back. Reduced the curve percentage. Good. Don't remember the numbers, but after many years, I'm not sure if the curve gets larger. I do want to know exercises that can help me. Yes. So if you have a rod in your lumbar spine, so that would be the blue bit here in the graphic, but not in your thoracic spine, and you're saying that your thoracic curve is getting worse, then I would start to get some help and to put in some exercise programs in place. Again, I'm not going to recommend something specifically right this because, you know, this is not straightforward again. And if you are doing the wrong thing, you might be hurting yourself or making it worse. So I think it's really important that you work with someone. If this is not possible for you right now, then see if you can do something to strengthen the upper body without any twisting, without any forward bending, side bending, or back bending, right? So plank, side plank on both sides. Things like that can really, really be helpful to build up that strength in the upper body. Something noticeable I've noticed is when standing up straight, my right shoulder blade sticks out more. Also, always sitting in front of the computer. Oh, aren't we all? This is what's tricky at the moment, isn't it? So I'm not sure if bad posture is also something that can cause the neck shoulder pain. Yes, absolutely. Yes, sitting at your computer is very bad and not helpful for back pain and probably contributed to your neck and shoulder pain. Again, this is why just general posture and working in a balanced way can be super helpful here as well. Good. Alice saying, would it be helpful to do supine twist to the left part of my left ribs are pronounced? Yes. Oh, Alice, I really want to help you, but you know, again, it's not quite enough information, but wherever your convex side of your curvature is, this is where the rotation is backwards. So coming out towards the back, right? So this person here with in the graphic, for example, the right side of his waist would be coming forwards and the left side of the waist would be coming back if we're looking at the back for this. So derotating would be going the opposite way. So I don't know if that helps. Again, if you do want to work with me, then do get in touch. You've got my website address down there. You've got my Instagram as well. So lots of ways to get in touch with me. Wendy's saying, I have a desk job and find the longer I sit, the more pain I have. Yes, me too. What recommendations do you have to keep my core engaged and back stretches? I would say get a wobbly ball. So either sit at a on a gym ball, or you can get these like wobbly cushions as well. And that really helps, and I'm gonna show you mine next time. That can really help to keep your core engaged because you always have to do a little bit of work. So that is when you're actually sitting at your desk. So I think those are really useful. And then I would suggest that you get up as much as you can, you move around, maybe even get a standing desk. And then I would suggest to practice some yoga afterwards, after work, and maybe during work. I don't know if there's anything you can do, but what I really like is the half downward dog, which you can do at your desk. And you can just bring the hands onto the side of your desk. I can't show it here, unfortunately, but just having a little back stretch. And again, there are lots of videos on my YouTube channel about this. So anything where you can elongate is really helpful. And then core strengthening. Look for my core strengthening videos for scoliosis. So there will be really helpful for that. Hi from Turkey. My son 16 has a right lumbar scoliosis with cob angle of 18, straight spine up to neck, and has a compensating curve to the right. During sleep, what head pillow position do you suggest? Depending on if you sleep on your side or in your on your back. So if you sleep on your back, a lower pillow is better. If you're sleeping on your side, you want it so that your neck doesn't collapse, so that when you sleep on your side, everything is in a nice line. And I do have a video about this topic as well. It's called Best Sleeping Positions for Scoliosis, I think. Good. Tidy Lopez is saying, I'm from Chile. When do you talk about kyphosis? Shall we talk about kyphosis another time? I think that's a great idea. Let's do that actually. And then when we do about kyphosis, we'll also talk about positions for sitting at your desk and rounding forwards. I'm going into my kyphosis here. So thank you for that suggestion. I will definitely take that on board. I think that is a great idea, and I think lots of us can benefit from this topic as well. Good. So guys, I hope that this was useful for you today. There's lots of ways of getting in touch with me. If you're interested in working with me one-on-one, get in touch. You've got all the links in the description below as well. And if you have any more questions, then feel free to get in touch with me. All right, so thank you so much, and I hope to see you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.